Good morning, everybody. My name is Pat McCann. I'm a research analyst with Noble Capital Markets, and Robert LeBoyer will be joining us soon. Today we have Citius Pharma here. I am going to introduce Leonard Mazur, let him go through the presentation, and Robert should be here to take us through some Q&A at the end of that. So without further ado, Leonard, the floor is yours.
All right, Pat, thank you very much. Appreciate the introduction. And thank you to everybody that's online viewing this. Thank you for taking the time to be able to do that. Since I'm going to be making some forward-looking statements, I advise everybody to consult both sec.gov, type in our symbol, CTXR, or go directly to our website where we have all of our filings, all of our information is there as well. An informed investor is really the best type of investor. So in terms of the company, just to give you a quick overview here in terms of what we have, we're different probably from most biotech companies in a sense that we're both a biotech company and a pharma company. So the biotech side of the company is with LYMPHIR, as you see there. It's a purified reformulation of an IL-2 diphtheria toxin fusion protein for cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, which is a very rare cancer. These first two assets that we have in our portfolio, both LYMPHIR and Mino-Lok, are very late stage. LYMPHIR already has a BLA filed with a PDUFA date, which is an approval date. And Mino-Lok, which is also a phase III drug and has completed its clinical trial, we're waiting for a top-line data readout in the second quarter shortly. And also, Mino-Lok has the potential to be the first and only FDA-approved therapy for salvaging infected central venous catheters and something known as catheter-related bloodstream infection. The markets that we're in are extensive. The CTCL market is $300 million-$400 million, but it's a small market, but it's an attractive market because it's easier to penetrate in terms of number of prescribers and number of patients. So the CRBSI/CLABSI market is one that we would be the market. Once Mino-Lok is approved, the estimates for our market size in terms of penetration is that it's about $1.8 billion worldwide, half in the United States, half outside the United States. We also have Halo-Lido, which is a hemorrhoid drug that has the potential to be the first and only prescription hemorrhoid drug to receive an approval. That makes it very attractive and also makes for a very significant market since there isn't a single prescription drug approved by the FDA on the U.S. market. Our cash position is healthy at this point, $20.3 million as of 12/31. And something I need to highlight for everybody is the fact that we're different from everybody else that you can listen to for the next 100 years. And that is that we put our own money into the company, $26.5 million. I have $22.5 million invested directly into the company. Myron Holubiak, the co-founder of the company, has $4 million of his own money put into the company. It's something that you will not hear those kind of numbers anywhere. So we have great catalysts coming up in 2024 in that the top-line data results for Mino-Lok are expected, as I said, in the second quarter. And then we have the PDUFA date or approval date in August 13th from the FDA. We expect to commercialize the drug and launch in the fall of 2024. So this is our staff. I call these our mugshots. Basically, something I need to highlight about our staff is this: everybody that we have on board at the company is a thorough professional. We don't have any training programs. We have no internships. We have none of that. The only people that are in the company are people with extensive backgrounds and experience in the pharmaceutical or biotech industry and have done a lot of launches and preparations for launches with the FDA and have experience with interaction with the agency. So Mino-Lok, which is this was really our first asset that that we had that we started the company with. It is one where we anticipate as I said, a phase three top line data readout in the second quarter. It would be the only antibiotic lock therapy that is for sterilizing and salvaging infected catheters. So what I need to highlight for you here is really important, and that is that this drug does not go into man. It does not go into the body. Basically, when it's administered, it stays locked within the catheter and the line. So we basically are looking to be a better alternative to remove and replace. That is for an infected catheter today. That is the only standard of care that's available. So, in other words, when a patient has an infected catheter, and usually the very first signs of it is they're febrile, they come down with a fever, and they're immediately hospitalized, usually into the ICU. The only standard of care today is to remove that catheter surgically, do two separate surgical procedures, and that is one is to remove, and the second one is to replace and implant it somewhere else in the body. So we've had strong positive phase two data with this. We have a phase three trial that basically was completed in 2023 at the end of the year with 241 patients enrolled. We had 109 catheter failure events observed, and with clinical sites, most of it in the United States, and we did some in India in order to wrap the trial up and complete it. So this market is significant. There are, out of the 4 million central venous, long-term central venous catheters implanted, about 500,000 of those will be infected over time. Usually if there is an infection, it can be called catheter-related bloodstream infection or central line-associated bloodstream infections. There is mortality and morbidity in the 12 to 25% range. Basically, the challenges in removing and replacing are that it's extremely painful. It's got a high complication rate, including psychological symptoms from that process. It's very painful for the patient. The cost, we believe, is somewhere around $10,000 just for remove and replace, a little bit more than that probably. And the cost of treating overall a CLABSI or CURBSI can go as high as $65,000. So with Mino-Lok is, as you can see on the screen, is it's in a vial. It basically has three ingredients. It'll once it hits the floor, the nurse will be able to administer it, I'll it's best to show it this way. So the patient's there. All that happens is the nurse injects our solution into the catheter, locks the line, so hemodynamically it cannot go into the body. It'll sit there for 2 hours. The nurse will come out after 2 hours, aspirate out the contents, and flushes the line, and the patient has 22 hours of uninterrupted IV flow. So this drug was invented by Dr. Issam Raad, chairman of the Department of Infectious Disease at MD Anderson, one of the top cancer hospitals in the world. And his goal there was to create something that would not compromise the integrity of IV flow. So with our system, basically, once that solution is in the catheter in the line, and after it's aspirated out, it's only in there for 2 hours. The patient has 22 hours of uninterrupted IV flow. That's really important to in consideration of this. So this is done over 5 to 7 days, and at the end of that time frame, that line is completely sterilized, including any biofilm that may have been formed. So this is the phase 2B trial that was submitted to the FDA, where we compared ourselves to remove and replace, and showing zero complication rate as compared to an overall complication rate of about 18%. So we went to the agency, and we worked out a protocol with them that basically compared ourselves to an antibiotic lock solution, which I call a home brew. When sometimes what happens over time is that there are patients that no longer have access points, and the hospital will try to salvage the line by mixing up a brew that The hope would work. There's a lot of issues with some of those, but the agency wanted a comparison, so we did it. And as I said, we've completed that trial with the 109 catheter failure events. That's the endpoint, is the catheter failing. So the agency also strongly encouraged us to get a special status from the FDA. We got a QIDP, Qualified Infectious Disease Product, and that reduces our review time once we submit an NDA to 6 months from 12 months. Most importantly, we get an additional 5 years of market exclusivity upon approval. When combined with the 4 years plus that you'll get with an approval, we'll have almost 10 years of a regulatory protected runway. So, Lymphere is our other asset. It's for the treatment of cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. As you can see here, this is an awful cancer. It only affects about 3,000 people annually, but as you can see, starts out at the plaque stage. Usually, it's treated by a dermatologist. It'll go under the treatment of an oncologist when it enters into the tumor phase. So, what we have is we have a differentiated mechanism of action. It targets malignant cells by binding to the IL-2 receptors and delivering a diphtheria toxin, killing tumor cells directly. It eliminates Tregs, which are white blood cells in a cancer tumor environment. So basically, the market has two other entries, primary entries, that are there: Seagen and Kyowa Kirin, which has Poteligeo. Those comprise most of the $300 million to $400 million that are in the market. What we like about the fact that they're already there is the fact that it allowed us now to take the time and really do a deep dive into this market segment. We know everything about this market, and the pricing in here is somewhere around $300,000 for a course of therapy. So we ran two trials. One was a lead-in study of 21 patients. The other one was the phase three trial of 71 patients. So with that, we got an overall response rate of 36.2%. We reduced skin burden by 84.4%. Rapid response time was about to the drug was about 1.4 months, and a durable response time of 6.5 months. So side effects, 6% capillary leak, and then infusion reaction, and no 0% in terms of visual impairment. Here's something I need to highlight for everybody. Presently, based on this study that was done there, which was an animal trial in which we compared our drug, Lymphir, to it would be a combination therapy that basically looked at what's comparable to Keytruda. And basically, the way this works is we combined Lymphir with a Keytruda type drug to measure anti-tumor activity. And basically, as a result, we were able to prove conclusively in the animal trial that this worked better. The combination treatment worked better than monotherapy. So basically, there's upside in here with our drug. One is for PTCL, which is peripheral T-cell lymphoma. That's a much larger market segment. And secondly, second upside is these two investigator-initiated INDs that one is at the University of Pittsburgh, where the investigator there is studying Lymphir combined with Keytruda, and he's also looking at it. Some of the patients are Keytruda failures. This could have a lot of promise to it. And the reason why it does have potential is because the mechanism of action that we have, which reduces the Tregs, is important when it comes to comparing it with Keytruda, because Keytruda's overall efficacy is impacted by a higher number of Tregs. The higher the number, the lesser the efficacy. So bringing down the Tregs becomes really critical in terms of using this in those Keytruda-treated patients. The University of Minnesota is studying Lymphir combined with CAR-T therapies, which are another cancer treatment that was approved in recent years. So with that, I'm going to quickly go through this. Just Halo-Lido is our topical steroid and lidocaine-containing cream for the treatment of hemorrhoids. As I highlighted before, there's nothing on the market today that's got a prescription to it that's been cleared by the FDA. Our goal here is to monetize this asset. We're not going to market this drug. We intend to basically out-license or sell off the drug once we generate meaningful data. We do have positive phase 2b results that we're in discussions with the FDA on in terms of determining what's the best protocol to be using in the future for a phase 3 trial. So with that, we've got just a quick profile on us. I have about 158 million shares outstanding, 50 million warrants, and then options at 17 million. I should highlight that myself and Myron Holubiak hold about 10 million out of the 50 million warrants. So with that, I'd like to conclude the presentation and have it open for questions.
Great, thank you, Glenn.
Okay, take me out. That's it.
Hey,
Rock, how are you? Good to see you.
I'm doing well. Thank you for the presentation. One question I had for you on Mino-Lok was that one of the things that you mentioned was the number of patients that are affected and the morbidity and mortality, as well as the cost.
Right.
Is this something that can be used for prevention as well as treatment, or only for treatment?
No, this will be for treatment only,
Okay.
and I think that that makes it very clear when it should be used.
Sure. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, but with the cost that you mentioned compared with Mino-Lok, it would seem like this could save the system quite a lot of money.
Correct. So it would be our plan is to launch this at a price point that would be cost savings to the overall system. And at the same time, what we plan to do is once it's approved, there's the Infectious Disease Society of America, IDSA, publishes guidelines on how to treat CRBSI/CLABSI. So what we've been told by our infectious disease advisors is that once it's approved, they'll make sure that it gets put into those guidelines as quickly as possible upon approval.
Great. That would
Yeah.
certainly help adoption.
Correct.
Okay. There were some questions from the floor. Two that I'll combine into one related to the cash runway. And you mentioned that you have cash through August 2024, and you weren't planning any offerings that would be dilutive. And were there any ideas for spinning it off or raising money through non-dilutive capital or anything like that to get past
Oh,
August?
so the plan is this. So what we would like to do is we plan to use the spun off. It's called a spin out entity, which is CDS Oncology Inc. We know that launching the LYMPHIR is going to require substantial capital because we got to put a sales force in place. We got to staff up with people. So at that point, we don't want to dilute the company with that raise. All right. So basically, the plan is spin it off, and then ultimately we'll raise the capital in Citius Oncology Inc. for the launch of the drug and for all those people that have to come on board at that time. So and then basically we'll see where we are with Citius itself, the parent company. Somewhere down the road, I would anticipate that we probably will have to do some sort of raise there, depending on what happens with Mino-Lok, and the FDA.
Yeah, okay, great. And another question asks, with Citius Oncology and Citius CXTR planning to share costs for marketing with Eversana, how much will CXTR need to fund to launch Mino-Lok?
So
Or
we
is
have
it
not disclosed yet the launch, what that budget looks like at this point, but we're not sharing the cost with Eversana. Eversana basically is a contractor to the pharmaceutical and biotech industry. So they'll provide us with the salespeople, we will reimburse for that, as well as shipping, billing, and warehousing. So those functions will be executed through the Eversana network. The salespeople, which are really critical here, will have the national sales director for the group that will be a Citius Oncology Inc. employee. So he will oversee the hiring of those representatives, and it's going to be a mix of sales representatives, as well as a higher sophisticated type of rep calling on on the oncologist. So those people will come on board. They'll be on the Eversana payroll, but we will reimburse. And then after about a year, we plan to transition most of them probably to Citius Oncology Inc. We want to wait, get the revenue up, get everything rolling, and then we'll start to really staff accordingly. So the rest of it, the management of Citius Oncology Inc., will be initially conducted by the Citius personnel. And then it's the same thing as time progresses and we get data and we get results, we'll start to staff it with full-time people. But for the initial period, at least for 6 to 9 months, it'll be staffed with Citius pharmaceutical staff.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Okay, and there was a question on LymphFear, and the question asks about the previously that as previously stated, the labels and formula were fine, but there was one thing that wasn't ready at that time. Now that it's ready, what is the expectation for approval?
Okay, so basically, we received a complete response letter on July 28th, 2023. That complete response letter was about the fact that there was a manufacturing test that we passed 100%, but the validation procedure was not yet completed. So we had to complete that. It was going to run some months past the PDUFA date, the July 28th date. We completed that test satisfactorily, submitted all the data to the agency, and the agency came back several weeks ago and gave us a new PDUFA date or approval date of August 13th, 2024. So that'll be this year.
Great. Okay. All right. Could you just go over some of the milestones once again, just to reiterate what's ahead in the next few months?
Sure. So what's ahead in the next few months is we have our Mino-Lok top line data readout, which is May, June, second quarter. We have also the spin out occurring in somewhere probably in June or around there. We'll have the PDUFA date August 13th, and then we'll have the launch of LymphFear into the market segment somewhere in the fall.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Len. This has been
Okay.
very interesting, and we will be watching for those milestones.
Okay. Thank you for having me on the program. I really appreciate it. And
Okay.
again,
Thank you, Len.
anybody wants to look at anything on us, our presentation is on our website, citiuspharmaceuticals.com. So thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. And this will be also posted to the Noble website as well.
Okay, great. Thank you again.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.